Ole isn't here this morning, for anybody who cares out there. He's not here, so you're going to have to listen to me. Or you can leave now.
Save $100.
Save $100. That's right. Joyce Hannah told me at the coffee shop that Ole was gone, so I was going to have to teach. So I got to thinking, well, let's see. There's an excellent point that we talk about often, is that you don't talk about anything that's not worked out in you by Christ Jesus. What's that? Well, it's those things that are made meat to you that you don't have any question or doubt about because they're wrought in you. One of the ways we have spoken of this, or one of our cliches of the past, is let the deep speak to the deep. And this morning I had a little deep speaking to my deep. And what it was, I was praying for Ole and his success. And I don't do that very often, because I have a bit of an antagonistic relationship when we have Bible study, where we're always kind of bantering, and I feel like sometimes I'm having to defend myself from what he's saying. So I saw that this morning, and I repented of it, because I don't think he has anything against me. I know quite the opposite. He's for me, but he's for me in the sense of seeing total abandonment and yieldedness and openness and vulnerability and exposure and denial of self. That's what he's for in regard to all of us. And so rather than resist what... You know, when the man sitting in this chair is talking, we assume he's not speaking of his own. He's speaking because God has given him an unction and an office and a place of speaking and a message. And in openness, that message can be received. In a place of protection and wariness and guardedness, nothing can get through. And that's a place of mistrust, and a place where you're protecting what? The old man. And so this morning, when I prayed and saw that, I prayed it away, so to speak. I denied it and said, I don't want to do that, you know, because I know God has set him in this place, and it's not to my hurt. So, and I say it to you for the same reason, if it means anything to anybody. When you're in any circumstance like we are in, you deny yourself. What is that? How deep can that denial go? Well, it goes really deep, because we don't understand fully the mechanisms of our upbringing that have demanded that we protect ourselves to exist in the world. But we're not in the world here. We're entered into another life, another dimension. This is where we seek the deep things of the Spirit, that we might escape Egypt and not be subject to worldly stuff. So let your abandonment and your denial of self find its limits. Find how deep it goes in you. Find those breaks that you've put on somewhere that keep you from allowing God to speak to you. It's not you versus Ole in any way. It's the old man versus it's the flesh and the spirit is the battle. So, but the battle from the spirit's point of view is over. It's already been won. So you have no part in it. That's part of your weapon of warfare. It's not carnal, but mighty through God, and those strongholds have already been pulled down. So don't be a resister of the things that God would be trying to talk to you about. And in that sense, pray for one another. when you're in that place, you can genuinely pray for someone else in a way that you probably never will, you know, could have before. But you truly pray for the success, and success in spirit is to complete the journey that you've been called to complete, which is your freedom, your openness, your abandonment. That's success in the spirit. And we desire that greatly for one another. Because without it, we're stopped in our tracks. And it's the least of the brethren that's the most important. Because nobody can go any farther than the least. So pray for the least of the brethren. And be fully aware, spiritual matters are totally different than carnal matters. You cannot comprehend God with your carnal mind, so quit trying. It's not going to happen ever, no matter how good you think your mind is. It's not going to happen. That is what you abandon. And in that abandonment, God's got a chance. And as a predicate there, in Matthew 7, if you want to turn to Matthew 7, there's something in Matthew 7 that I saw a long time ago, and it continues to confirm its truth. And it says, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." This "judge not that you be not judged." What we talked about a long time ago was what you judge another of is what you're guilty of. And it's easy to watch other people do it and see that this is true. Go ahead and do that first. Watch what anybody else is judging. And it's so easy to see that that's why they're judging it, because they're guilty of it. And notice that it's the same for you. Whatever you are judging or pointing your finger down at, that's the type of judgment this is, where you judge downward. You are guilty of the exact same thing in some other form. It's probably not directly related to what you're judging, but it's the same thing spiritually. And if you start seeing that your judgments are what you're guilty of, blessings upon you. Because now you know what to repent of. Most of the time we do our judgments ignorantly. We just do it. And we do it. But if we do it with knowledge, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying do it all with everything in you. Because if you do, then you'll be able to see clearly what you're guilty of, and you'll be able to repent. Without seeing clearly, you will not be able to repent. If you are withholding for religious reasons because it says don't judge, well, then you'll never see. I'm saying be there. Get out there. Let it be seen. Because then you'll understand fully what to turn from. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. It's really time to let the gates be opened and give everything without fear. And in this place of pouring yourself out and giving, it's not because you'll discover your righteousness. You'll discover your unrighteousness. You'll discover these deep places that are preventing God from being able to fully work himself out in you, because you have the keys to the kingdom. You are holding him back. Strangely enough, he's given us this power where we, you know, this battle that's going on that's already over, and we're still here resisting. So open up. Don't be afraid to be wrong. That's the biggest problem. Everybody wants to be right. Yeah. Being right is stupid, because it feeds on itself. Then you got to be right again, and then you have a reputation to uphold, and then it's all self-centered. You know, just be be stupid, be ignorant, be wrong, be a fool. It doesn't matter. Because in that, revelation of Christ in you can happen. If you're guarding everything, it ain't going to happen. Did I hear a bleep on the radar?
You're already dead anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's over. Too late. You lost your chance. Yeah. And in this community, you know, what are you trying to protect? A relationship, your image in this community? It's crap. Nobody cares. And nobody wants you to be anything special. You know, you aren't. And God is really not concerned about the individual. He's concerned about the body. So, again, what are you protecting? What's so sacred about yourself? You know, that's why if you get out there, you'll be able to turn from self, because it'll be obvious. You know, there's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing worth in you that you should try and save. So. It's this idea of being. It's not easy to be.
You know, I just realized.
What's that?
Living the way we live in the community, one of the things you find out, and I just realized that I found this out, that the things that you look at that you think are different between people, like education, doesn't matter. We have people here with virtually no education. We have people here with unbelievable education. Age, really old, really young, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Health, race,
sex.
Social skills, sex, whatever it is.
Yeah.
After a while, it just happened to me, you realize that those things don't mean
they're
anything.
Not,
they're
right.
not. They're not real. They're not. They don't define the other or self. Actually,
they don't find
so there's no point in going crazy trying to get money, or going crazy trying to get responsibility, or whatever it is that you would think would make you
okay,
better or more desirable. It's just not true. Because
mm-hmm.
there's no difference. Like, I can sit and talk with Stuart or Betty. Stuart's what, 10, and Betty's 75. There's no difference.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the things that matter, the education, in fact, education, if anything, may be a detriment.
Kind of does.
So, I don't know. That's just on the
That's cool. That's the nature of the body.
Incredible benefits that you would never see if you lived where you choose and be with people you choose.
Mm-hmm.
All you'd see is people like you.
Yeah. And there's competition, you know. There's always striving to get ahead. Ahead of what?
Well, whatever that group is defines what it is.
Yeah.
Here there's no...
Yeah. We've already seen that there's no ahead to get.
Important. Maybe only one other person here thinks it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Probably none.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
There it is. So it has been said. Anybody else come in on...
It's pretty hard to... Also in that community kind of fellowship... I find some of the toughest times for me, at least, is being with somebody who believes differently than the way I believe or how I interpret scriptures. I think that can be a very touchy subject for a lot of people. And a lot of times we just want to part because we see things differently instead of really laying down our lives for one another and letting the Lord, judge the matters. I mean, because, I don't know, If it's of the truth, it doesn't have to be defended. I mean, the truth is just the truth. And I'm telling you, it's hard for me to respect other people's beliefs, how they, view Scripture. And because it's such a hot, debatable, thing. I mean, it can just really hurt someone's feelings really easily. But like you said, we shouldn't be afraid of that. We should be able to trust the Lord with one another if we do have disagreements. I know I have a lot of different beliefs than you all have.
Mm-hmm.
But I come here because I want a fellowship in Christ with y'all. That's
well, let me say something to you, because I think I understand what you're talking about. The things that you've seen and heard and down the street really don't have anything to do with differences in opinion on what the Scripture means and what that Scripture means. What you've seen and witnessed down the street has to do with just talking, putting oneself forward as an expert, and not listening.
I kind of disagree with that.
Well, I'm sure you do. I'm not, sure you do.
That may be true. I mean, I honestly don't always understand things, but obviously I think we all speak, and I know Lee speaks with what he truly is convinced of. And when somebody else speaks those bets they are truly convinced of, I know there's going to be...
The fireworks.
Fireworks. There's going to be some spirited mm-hmm. debate. And so...
Yeah.
I'm trying to lay my life down as a person. You know, I know that I do have some disagreement. You know, it's funny. Probably about 90% of the stuff I hear from Ole I would agree with. There are some small little points that I get lashed up
mm-hmm.
and I do hold back on.
Yeah.
But
well,
because I don't know my scriptures, verbatimly or whatever. That's probably the reason why I don't, because I'm not a scripture person, someone who's very knowledgeable of the scriptures, who can quote them. But so I think that's what I can feel. That's mm-hmm. how I can feel intimidated at times.
Well, doctrines fail. All doctrines will fail because in the end there's only one that survives, and that's Christ, and that's love. And we as people, because of our fears, will latch on to a doctrine, even our doctrine of the cross. If we're latching on to that and trying to protect ourselves with the cross, we've missed the message, because death has no boundaries. It goes all the way, and that's a struggle. And even in these meetings we have where we fight, I mean, it's a battle to death.
Right.
Not for winning a point, but for seeing a deeper place of repentance and then having the courage to repent. And even ask forgiveness, perhaps, or whatever is required. And that's why this stuff goes all the way to the core. There's no stopping it. And that hurts. It's painful. It can drive you crazy sometimes. But the end is always the same, of laying one's life down and not judging. Because if you're judging, you're guilty of what you're judging. And if you see that, you're going to catch yourself all the time being guilty. And then suddenly repentance is not difficult. When God gives you repentance, it's not difficult. If you're struggling with it, saying, oh, I'm going to have to repent of that, then you're repenting as the world would repent, because you found something that's going to hurt you if you don't. You're still trying to protect yourself, and you're finessing repentance. But true repentance is something that God just lays out there. You see it, and it's like we've said, it's no big deal flushing the toilet. You know, it's something you turn from, and you walk away. It's not anything you would desire to get involved with.
Can you really try and lay your life down?
You can do that until you realize that's futile. But you have to go through it all.
Yeah.
You have to go through all this stuff. And that's why I say don't withhold, don't hold back. Because if you're holding back, you're being religious. And religious is not Christ. That's what he fought against. That's the Pharisaical place. So if you think you're right about something, and you've got a religion, and you even got a doctrine, you got a few scriptures to support you, and then you can take a stand, you're still in a place of judgment. This doctrine kills you. It doesn't, you know. And then what life there is raised up by God's hand, not by your trickery. And it never stops, and nobody escapes. It's no less for Ole than it is for somebody who's dancing on the fringe.
Not by efforts and trying to do something.
That's right. it's a pretty fair system when you everybody loses, you know, except God. So, yeah, he's the winner, and he's already won. It's already over. So what are we fighting? But you have to get down into this guts. You have to, you know, it has to go down to a deep level. It has to, you have to know what you're really, what you're dealing with.
What is your view on judging? What is, there a difference between judgment and discernment?
Sure, but if I look at you and I think, well, here's old Anthony sitting over there saying a bunch of shit, you know, and what's he done? If I discount you, if I think lowly of you because you haven't been around and you don't know everything we've been through, you don't know what we've talked about, you don't know the struggles we've been through to learn, if I think that's more important and has more weight in looking at you than what you've been through, then I'm judging you and I'm judging you down. And here's a guy who doesn't.
So it's almost like a condemning kind of like thing?
Yeah. But the minute I do that, I'm guilty before God.
Because it's not like if you judge I'm saying something wrong, and you really think I am saying something wrong. That's not the kind of judgment.
No. That's judgment is katakrino. It's a word that means you're looking from a higher place, judging the person to be in a lower place. When in fact, it should be the opposite, you know. Because God has brought us all together. God has brought you here. And if I discount you because you don't understand or believe everything we do, then I feel real.
You see someone as reprobate or something.
Yeah. And if I feel this way and I don't come talk to you. If I hold this opinion, well, if I hold an opinion against any of you, if I say, well, Ronnie's not very smart, you know, so I don't have to treat him a certain way. Which I don't really think that, Ronnie. I don't think you're not smart at all.
You need to be in here.
But if you do see someone's character,
mm-hmm.
And you can discern character flaws with one another, right? Like he always picks on you, always picks on you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not judgment.
No,
no. That would just be like assessing something and clarification.
Yeah, that's just what happens in you.
That word judgment is a English language is.
Well, you know when you're doing it.
Right.
You know when you're doing it.
Because I've had people, you know, you can't judge me, you know, if they're doing something that's really wrong, you try to encourage someone in the word. It's, hey, you can't judge me. Judge not that you be judged for that scripture.
Well, then you're off into religion. You know, it's like Paul said, I judge not mine own self. You know, what a place of freedom that is, because that's our worst place. We spend more time probably judging ourselves, and that's the only reason we would extend it to others. You know, I've judged myself as a certain something, and now you better either meet up to it, or I will judge you down. It's an incredible arena that we're all, you know, subject to it. But again, I say, if you're doing it, do it. If you're thinking it, speak it. If it's there, expose yourself. Find out, and it'll cause problems. It may hurt somebody. You might have to apologize. You might have to ask for forgiveness. It's one of the most difficult things to do in the world, I think. For a young kid, it just amazes me how kids can't say I'm sorry. They can't apologize. It just kills them to have to do that. Well, adults aren't too much different. It just changes form. But how often do you hear somebody say, will you forgive me? How often does it happen in a marriage when you're offending your partner and you say, I really screwed up. Will you forgive me? And then shut up until that person forgives you. I've watched this transaction thousands of times, and it's the most difficult. And then when we have a meeting where this happens, everybody gets real nervous. Oh, crap, you know, here it is, you know. And they want to change the subject or move it along, and they don't want to let the person say, okay, I will forgive you. They kind of finesse that part. Okay, he asked for forgiveness. Isn't that great? Wow. let's move on. No, you got to sit there and wait and let it happen. Let forgiveness take place. Because forgiveness goes real deep. Forgiveness isn't cheap. Forgiveness has to come from your soul, from your being, from who you are. But if you're not forgiving, if you're not doing it, and it should be happening a lot, privately, silently, there should be a whole lot of forgiveness going on just in your life. You're not in touch with who you are. You're just kind of playing some surface game, thinking you're all right. But let the deep speak to the deep. Let these things go down into your belly. Find out. Find out if these things be true. Let's, you know, we're not spending our time in this community just because we got 3 meals a day and something to do. There's a little more going on here. And if this isn't happening, there's nothing going on. We're just goofing off.
I was recently talking to Roger and basically said, you know, your problem isn't this, your problem is this. And he threw it back at me and basically said, you should talk. Yeah, and he was right.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens with me the other way around. You know, someone's talking to me and thinking, you know, the person that's telling me this does the exact same thing.
Yeah. But,
I know that I speak of things that haven't yet been worked out in me. And what really annoys me is when I hear someone else do it, I just feel like someone else, they shut the fuck up.
And that's when you judge them, because you're guilty of it. Yeah, it's a killer. It's just a knife waiting to thrust. But that's great, you know, because if repentance isn't what we're about, then we've missed the whole thing. We're wasting our time coming here every morning and getting up early. You know, there must be fruit. What's that scripture? Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. It's brought forth by reality of the inner person getting on the table. You know, let's get out there and see what happens. Gamble. Take a chance. Kevin, you want to wrap it up here? You got nothing for us this morning? John?
Judgment is based in the flesh. You know, it's not far from things like jealousy and ego, discernment, chastisement. Those come from the heart.
Yeah. And they're without rancor.
Well, and they're seeing. I mean, if you think about chastisement in a child, it's real simple. You know, don't put your hand on hot stove. No, you know, whatever. You know, no, you can't climb the ladder. You know, I'm sorry. Because you see further than the kid does. The kid can't see. You know, they get to the top of the ladder and then get that back down.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And you know, chastisement is seeing the.
Mm-hmm.
The good of the
person. Right. And being willing to. Yeah, you wouldn't stop with a child. Why do you stop with adults?
You know, in during a conversation here about, you know, judgment and condemning and stuff, and I was thinking about, you know, exhortation.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. I mean, I guess sometimes, you know, I don't understand what exhortation is, because a lot of times if I'm exhorted, you know, I feel like I'm being accused or attacked or judged. But I don't know. That word just came to me when I was doing
See, exhortation for real means to lay down alongside. Exhortation doesn't give you an excuse to judge. True exhortation, the person who is exhorting you will not be judging you. They are down there with you, laying down alongside you, and you can hear that. But
they
if somebody
could be angry doing that. They could sound like they have an angry tone of voice doing that.
Well, you need, before you go to exhort someone, you better examine your own self.
Right.
That was the next, actually, in line right after that. Why judge you someone else? Why take the mote out of your brother's eye when you got beam in your own? So before you go to exhort someone, get the beam out of your own eye, and then you can get the mote out of your brother's eye.
Well, help. Again, it's based on love. That's why
it's,
I say don't
it's based on love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, the reason Oli has credibility is because of his humility.
Yeah.
He's speaking from a position in a low place.
Yeah.
And he's speaking to himself as much as if you sit back and say, well, you know, he says these things, and you start analyzing his life and say, well, does it line up? Did he do that?
Yeah.
Your faith lies on Oli.
Right.
I talk to people that have left here. That's one of the biggest issues is their faith relied on hope.
Yeah.
And they didn't, you know. So your faith relies on anybody.
Any man. God will make sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a great responsibility sitting in this place because you are, as I speak, I'm speaking to myself.
Sure.
And if I get haughty or proud or anything, the weight comes down.
Maybe this is an error on my own part, but from what I understand, I don't think there's a way that man cannot judge something from anybody else. I mean, we're always judging whether they're speaking of truth or not of truth, or we're always analyzing and looking mm-hmm. at things. I mean, I don't know how you escape that.
Well, you escape it through repentance. You and like I say, you do it, but not so that you can end up being right.
No.
You do it so that you can see your own error and
right.
repent of it. That's the constant process. That's what never stops.
Right. So one is there's a selfish version of it, and there's one that's on the spirit.
Oh. And the selfish one is the one that doesn't repent. The one is that if you're judging and the end of it is that you can sit in a higher place, then there is no humility. There is no love. There's only self-aggrandizement. I think I got it.
You got that one.
I did, didn't I?
I don't understand. I've got this thing in my head where I think a preacher should never be preaching against something that they do.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's just being hypocritical. You're talking about preaching, all he preaches to himself, you preach to yourself. But mm-hmm. I have this thing that, if this thing's been worked out and you're talking about, then it's not an issue. You should never be preaching against something that you haven't resolved yourself.
Well, what's the difference between that and when you exhort Roger to say what's there? You have no credibility to make that statement. Yet, it needed to be made, and it had an effect, and the purpose was working out. Regardless of whether or not you had it was in a position to say that. It was hypocritical of you to say that.
But you're saying it is good that I said it?
Yeah. It's not. Yeah, if we had to be in perfect. Trying to say, okay,
we're all mine.
No, I see Roger doing this, but I can't say anything because I do the same thing. So, because what? His body died.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to say anything.
Nobody ever. Absolutely.
Yeah. We would
I'm exposing myself. I judge openly.
Mm-hmm.
I've exposed myself.
That's right.
And that there's the fruit necessary for repentance right there.
Hey.
Because I say it. I said the same thing. I was talking to Angela about Michael about doing some stuff and how I needed it done sooner. I had to kind of push him to do it. And she looked at me and she goes, "You do the same thing." I do. It was just a moment of clarity,
Yeah.
The thing we fear about ourselves and what we see other people do.
Yeah.
My dad was, he feared being lazy. And so he saw himself being a lazy person. He feared that in me, and he always condemned me for, taking the easy road or doing things with the appearance of being lazy.
Yeah.
So what we see, fear about ourselves, really is what we judge in others.
It's clear as a bell. That started the fist fight for us once at the Rutledge House when Larry Ferguson was complaining about some stuff about other people, and I looked at him and I said, Larry, you do the same thing. You know, and he threw a glass of wine in my face, and we went to the floor. Well, yeah.
Gary lost it. He had the black eye.
I got a black eye out of it, and I had to go to a wedding in California the next day. And people said, how'd you get that black eye?
Church.
We had a fight in church.
Awesome.
So, judge not.